Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
Good evening. So tonight's talk is called Bowing, the Expression of the Physical and Spiritual Laws of the Universe. In Buddhism, we do a lot of bowing. We bow to the Buddha statue when we enter the building. We bow to each other. We bow when we enter the Zendo. We bow to where we're going to sit. We bow to the altars, and we bow to our food before we eat. And tonight, before we go home, we will have bowed approximately 20 times. Those of us in rows even more, since we are here earlier to set up, so we do prostrations and we bow. Plus, for those of you that witnessed Gesho's ordination 2 weeks ago, you watched her do 39 prostrations. So what's all this bowing about? Most Zen centers and monasteries focus on the mechanics of performing a bow. In other words, what we do with our body. And considerable effort is placed on the details of bowing, which is important because, as you've heard me say numerous times, in Zen, it's all about the details. But there's so much more to a bow than just bending correctly. So tonight I thought I would talk about those important aspects and share some articles on bowing. So the first I'd like to share, piece I'd like to share is by Jack Kornfield, and it's from his book, After the Ecstasy, The Laundry, How the Heart Grows Wise on the Spiritual Path. And the preface, you know, it starts out as, and this is the title, An Opening Bow. When I found myself becoming a Buddhist monk in a forest monastery of Thailand over 50 years ago, I had to learn how to bow. It was awkward at first. Each time we entered the meditation hall, we would drop to our knees and 3 times respectfully place our heads between our palms on the hard stone floor. It was a practice of reverence and mindfulness, a way of honoring with a bodily gesture our commitment to the monk's path of simplicity, compassion, and awareness. We would bow in the same way each time we took our seats for training with the master. After I had been in the monastery for a week or two, one of the senior monks pulled me aside for further instruction. Quote, in this monastery, you must not only bow when entering the meditation hall and receiving teachings from the master, but also when you meet your elders, end of quote. As the only Westerner and wanting to act correctly, I asked who my elders were. And this is what he said, quote, it is traditional that all who are older in ordination time, who've been monks longer than you, are your elders, I was told. It only took a moment to realize that meant I needed to bow to everybody. So I began to bow to them. Sometimes it was just fine. There were quite a few wise and worthy elders in the community, but sometimes it felt ridiculous. I would encounter 21-year-old monks who was there only to please his or her parents or eat better food than he could at home. Or I had to bow to a sloppy old rice farmer who had come to the monastery the season before on a farmer's retirement plan and had never meditated a day in his life. It was hard to pay reverence to these fellow forest dwellers as if they were great masters. Yet, there I was, and because I was in conflict, I sought a way to make it work. Finally, as I prepared yet again for a day of bowing to my, quote, elders, I began to look for some worthy aspect of each person I bowed to. I bowed to the wrinkles around the retired farmer's eyes, for all the difficulties he had seen and suffered through and triumphed over. I bowed to the vitality and playfulness of the young monks, the incredible possibilities each of their lives held yet ahead of them. I began to enjoy bowing. I bowed to my elders. I bowed before I entered the dining hall, and as I left, I bowed as I entered my forest hut, and I bowed at the well before taking a bath. After some time, bowing became my way. It was just what I did. If it moved, I bowed to it. It is the spirit of bowing that forms a monk's life. The true task of spiritual life is not found in a faraway place or unusual states of consciousness. It is here in the present. It asks of us a welcoming spirit to greet all that life presents to us with a wise, respectful, and kind-hearted heart. We can bow to both beauty and suffering, to our entanglements and confusion, to our fears and to the injustices of the world. Honoring the truth in this way is the path to freedom. To bow to what is rather than to some ideal is not necessarily easy, but however difficult, it is one of the most useful and honorable practices. To bow to the fact of our life's sorrows and betrayals is to accept them, and from this deep gesture we discover that all life is workable. As we learn to bow, we discover that the heart holds more freedom and compassion than we could have imagined. In Buddhism, bowing is a practice of gratitude and non-duality. Bowing is a physical expression of the Buddha's teaching. It is a dropping away of ego and its myriad attachments. It is the acknowledgement that self and other are not two separate things. There are a few types of bows, but they all start with the gassho. Here at Jizuan Temple, we greet each other by placing the palms of our hands together and bow. Using the gassho and bow in this way is certainly a nice way to greet each other and has been used as a form of greeting at Zen centers and monasteries for centuries. However, to view the gassho only as a form of greeting really misses the true meaning of it. The gassho is a gesture of unity. It signifies that the giver and receiver of the bow are not two. It is symbolic of the Dharma, the truth about life. For instance, we bring together our right and left hand, which are opposites. It represents the merging of other opposites as well, inside and outside, up and down, good and bad, light and dark, ignorance and wisdom, life and death. If you notice, when in gassho, the hands are located between the heart and mind. So it also represents the merging of heart and mind, compassion and wisdom. It is an expression of our feelings of gratitude and our interconnectedness with each other and all beings, human and non-human alike. It symbolizes the realization that our lives are supported by innumerable causes and conditions. And there are a few types of bows, but they all start again with the gassho. Now we have the informal bow. As I've mentioned, you know, the way we greet each other. You know, we gassho to each other and bow slightly. We also bow to our cushions or chair before we take our seat. And we're not bowing to just a piece of fabric or metal. We are bowing to where a Buddha is going to sit. You. One of the practices that we did at Pinewood Zen Center was to stop and bow to each other when we were on the path, you know, around the property or on the peace trail. I always found it that this practice was special, since it helped us slow down and acknowledge that we are doing Zen together. And then we have the sitting bow, you know, as the name implies. You know, we did it this morning, or this evening. It's done when we are sitting on our cushions, chair, or a bench. And then we have the formal sitting bow, which we don't do that often. And when we do Orioki, or when we are at Pine Wind, we would do Orioki, or have a tea ceremony. You know, we'd be sitting on our cushions like we're doing now. And the formal bow was have like this diamond, kneel down, head to the floor like that. And that's the formal sitting bow. And there are two other types of bows, and they are the formal standing bow and the prostration. And as you know, the formal standing bow is used here whenever we bow to a statue of the Buddha or Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva of compassion. When we enter the entranceway, we perform a formal standing bow to the Buddha statue. Likewise, when we enter the Zendo, we perform the formal standing bow to the altar. Also, when in the Zendo, we bow to the Buddha when we are in the same plane and when we're walking in front. And the exception is, naturally, during Kenyan. So this is what Maizumi Roshi had to say about the formal standing bow. Upon entering the Zendo, the standing bow is used. The body is erect, with the weight distributed evenly, and the feet parallel to each other. The hands form a firm gassho. As the bow is made, the body bends at the waist, so that the torso forms an angle with the legs of approximately 45 degrees. The hands do not move relative to the face, but remain in position and move only with the whole body. Dogen Zenji once said, as long as there is true bowing, the Buddha way will not deteriorate. In bowing, we totally pay respect to the all-pervading virtues of wisdom, which is the Buddha. In making the bow, we should move neither hastily nor sluggishly, but simply maintain a reverent mind and humble attitude. When we bow too fast, the bow is then too casual. Perhaps we are even hurrying to get it over and done with. And this is frequently the result of a lack of reverence. On the other hand, if our bow is too slow, then it becomes a rather pompous display. We may have gotten attached to the feeling of bowing, or our own real or imagined gracefulness of movement. This is to have lost the humble attitude which a bow requires. You know, we bow to the Buddha for two reasons when we enter the Zendo or we see one of the other Buddha statues: to express our gratitude to the Buddha as the founder of this wonderful path. And two, the statue of the Buddha is a symbol of our own Buddha nature. We are not bowing to the Buddha as a god or deity. The most important thing when performing a bow or prostration is the intention behind the bow. Then there's the prostration. Prostration is an ancient practice present in India long before Buddhism appeared there some 2,600 years ago. At that time, religion was the dominant force in India, and there were accepted modes of interaction between people and deities and the spiritual realm. And prostration was an accepted and expected form of interaction. There are two ways to prostrate. One is to touch the floor with the knees, elbows and forehand, with palms extended upward. This is the way the monks prostrate here in the Zendo. Another is to get down on our hands and knees and then lower oneself face down with the whole body flat on the floor with the arms extended straight out. This is a full prostration. Prostrations such as these are an important part of the most common foundational practices of Tibetan Buddhism. And you might have seen when some Tibetans go on a pilgrimage, you know, you see them, you know, on YouTube or wherever, and they'll be on the side of the road, and they're dropping down, and they're going straight out on the side of the shoulder of the road, and they have these, like, wooden paddles, so they don't get friction burn on their palms. And they do this for miles. I saw this firsthand at Pine Wind once. It was a Thursday night. And Roshi had mentioned to me prior that we're probably going to get a gentleman that's been a long time practitioner of Tibetan Buddhism. And I think his name was Ron. And so that night, you know, I'm in the tent, I was setting up, and I hear this rustling by the entranceway. And I figure, okay, well, it's, you know, it's this person. And I see the door open. I'm on the other side of the zendo, and I see the door open. I see this face for the first time, and he drops down and does a full prostration, hands extended out. And by the time I can get from one side of the zendo to the other, he already knocked three out, and he was going for more. So I waved to him, "You don't need to do that. You know, we do a standing bow here. That works." But that was the first time that I saw that in person. The only time I saw that in person was Zendo. In the Tibetan tradition, there's a core teaching called the seven branches. And these branches are practices. Each of the seven branches or practices support each other. And we don't speak of them in the same way within the Zen tradition. But the essence of these practices is present in our teachings. We have to continuously prepare ourselves to receive the Dharma, because it is in receiving the Dharma that our lives are transformed. We have to become completely open to encounter the teachings. And that's not easy, because we have accumulated so much. Our desires, our attachments, our beliefs, a self. The first of the seven branches are prostrations. From a Zen perspective, I would add the formal standing bow as well. When we perform an action or gesture, it has an inherent intelligence that connects with a sense of knowing within us. There's a way in which the gesture of joining the palms in gassho is expressing something that we already understand. A bow is not simply what we do with our body, although what we are doing with our body is essential. It's the mind that must bow as the whole universe. It's about intimacy, no separation. Bowing is being in unity with all beings. A prostration is the coming together of intention, mind, and body. The second branch is making offerings. To make an offering is to give, to counter stinginess and greed. It is to manifest the great Prajna Paramita of giving or dana. Whenever we are together here in the Zendo, we make an offering of incense to the Buddha and Avalokiteshvara. The third branch is atonement, which is an explicit part of our formal liturgy. When we really see our transgressions, acknowledge, and take responsibility for our actions, we can release them and begin fresh. The fourth branch is rejoicing in the good qualities and virtues of others. And this is an excellent way to counter a tendency to judge, to compare, to be envious, or to be jealous. And this fourth branch is essentially our precept of seeing the perfection in all beings. And the fifth and sixth branches are expressions of devotion. The seventh and final branch is to offer merit, the good karma of our practice. So the branches culminate with dedicating all the good karma and every benefit that we create in our lives to everyone. We can't practice just for ourselves. That's much too small. all that we do is offer to all beings. It's the Bodhisattva ideal. The enlightened path is the practice and awaken to the Buddha mind that each and every one of us possesses, though it is our very nature to directly realize this truth is both subtle and profound. To engage the teachings that point to the self nature is also a challenge. There are teachings that are challenging, and we need to engage them thoughtfully and carefully, to take time to try to understand what they are saying. This means that we are using our rational mind to reflect on and understand conceptually what the Dharma is pointing to, something that is itself beyond all concepts and knowing. There's much available these days in terms of Dharma teachings and texts, and a great deal of what comes from contemporary teachers is quite accessible. That's good, as it helps us connect easily and personally with the Dharma. But I think it's also important to engage in practices that are ancient, that practitioners have embraced for hundreds of years. In other words, to embrace what Bodhidharma called a special transmission outside of scriptures. Special here doesn't mean special to Zen. It means special in the sense of life-giving beyond the realm of words, ideas, and concepts. And bowing is one such area of practice. Bowing is a way of being, a way of giving, of offering up and opening oneself. Bowing helps us to be centered in the present moment and become more uncomplicated and humble. Bowing is so experiential that it can only be understood by doing it. I'd like to share a reading from Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind by Shunryu Suzuki, and this is on his piece on bowing. After Zazen, we bow to the floor 9 times. By bowing, we are giving up ourselves. To give up ourselves means to give up our dualistic ideas. So there is no difference between Zazen practice and bowing. Usually, to bow means to pay our respect to something which is more worthy of respect than ourselves. But when you bow to Buddha, you should have no idea of Buddha. You just become one with Buddha. You already are Buddha himself. When you become one with Buddha, one with everything that exists, you find the true meaning of being. When you forget all your dualistic ideas, everything becomes your teacher. Everything can be the object of worship. When everything exists within your big mind, all dualistic relationships drop away. There is no distinction between heaven and earth, man and woman, teacher and disciple. In your big mind, everything has the same value. Everything is Buddha himself. You see something or hear a sound, there you have everything just as it is. If you do not have this firm conviction of big mind in your practice, your bow will be dualistic. When you are just yourself, you bow to yourself in its true sense, and you are one with everything. Bowing is a very serious practice. Bow with the spirit, and all the precepts, all the teachings are yours, and you will possess everything within your big mind. Also, bowing, whether it be a formal standing bow or prostration, is one of the most visible ways we students of Zen express our humility. Some find it physically difficult to bow before a statue or a religious figure, let alone another human being. And this struggle is often based on the confusion of humility with weakness. During the Buddha's time, people became disciples by doing 2 things. First, they took refuge in the 3 treasures, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Second, they showed courtesy and respect to the Buddha. Courtesy involves a ritualistic gesture or action, whereas respect is more of a mental attitude. Taking refuge in or showing gratitude to the three treasures is a symbolic action with which most are familiar. It is done in two distinct ways. One is by making offerings, and the other is through ritual. Ritual respect can be shown in a number of ways, but the simplest is to gassho and bow. The more profound gesture is the prostration. A prostration or formal bow is like making an offering with your body. You offer something of yourself to the three treasures. In making offerings, as I said before, it is your mind and your intention that counts. When performing a prostration or formal bow, one's attachment to self is lessened, and it is easier for sentiments of humility to arise. In almost all of the various religious traditions, humility is seen as a virtue. Humility is a characteristic that is both an essential part of spiritual practice and a result of it. As a quality, it is deeply connected with compassion and wisdom. Humility, compassion, and wisdom go hand in hand. The last piece I'd like to share is by Lama Suradas, and it's called Bowing to the Buddha Within. More than a gesture, a bow is an act of veneration for ourselves and the universe. So here we go. Buddhists commonly offer bows when entering or leaving a temple, shrine, pilgrimage place, or spiritual circle of any kind. Zen Buddhists use a short form of the bow, simply placing their palms together at the heart chakra and inclining the torso. This is called the gassho in Japanese. My Zen master in Kyoto explained that bringing the two hands together at the heart represents the reunion of all polarities and duality in our spiritual center, the heart of enlightenment. A heartfelt bow is not an empty gesture. Bowing is a yoga-like practice with many different levels of meaning. My teachers taught me to drop whatever I was holding on to, put my hands together at my heart, and bow to all beings seen and unseen, thus cherishing and respecting all forms of life. I didn't always enjoy bowing as much as I do now. When I first lived in the Himalayas in the early 1970s, the idea of prostrating before someone or before an image was something I had a hard time doing. Quote, I won't lower myself to anyone, I thought. Eventually, I learned to enjoy bowing and discovered how profound and beautiful a practice it is. Now I see bowing as an elegant traffic signal of the body, voice and mind. Every bow says, slow down, drop the ego, meditation zone ahead, proceed with cushion. I like that. Proceed with cushion, not caution. Bowing is a mindfulness practice. It is a way of removing our mental and emotional armor, along with the ego baggage we may be burdened with. It is like leaving our shoes and luggage at the door of a shrine. The 7th century Indian Buddhist master Shantideva, whose name means the gentle angel, and who wrote the classic Mahayana text, Entering the Path of Enlightenment, or the Bodhicharvatara in Sanskrit, said that just to raise one hand in a gesture of respect and reverence sows the seeds of enlightenment. Since that time, bowing has become an intensive spiritual exercise for Buddhists. Prostrations are an important part of Tibetan Buddhism. Over the course of several months or more, the beginning practitioner is expected to complete at least 100,000 formal full-body prostrations, along with chanting refuge prayers. 100,000 prostrations. This is considered an excellent practice and a means of purifying karma. It is also something Tibetan Buddhists continue to practice in fewer repetitions on a daily basis throughout their lives. I remember my aged master, the late Thongjam Rinpoche, doing full prostrations even into his 80s. The truth is that completing these 100,000 prostrations was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. My teachers had me do this 3 times during the 1970s and 1980s. We did this for weeks and months at a time, 11 to 12 hours a day, from before dawn until after dark. It took some time to get used to it, just on a physical level, but after a while, the struggle of body and mind became subtler. Wrestling with dark and light, resisting or resenting the process, all began to fall away. Zen practitioners likewise offer large numbers of prostrations to the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, in their meditation centers and monasteries. My Zen teacher used to offer 108 bows each morning before the large Buddha statue on the altar of his temple, even at an advanced age. The best bowing practice I know, and one I find eminently doable on a daily basis, is to simply raise joined palms before the heart, lower my body in a gesture of surrender and letting go. This silent bow is my most favorite form of contemplative, wordless prayer. So in summary, in Buddhism, bowing is a practice of gratitude and non-duality. Bowing is a physical expression of the Buddha's teaching. It is a dropping away of ego and its myriad attachments. It is the acknowledgement that self and other are not two separate things.